I think I'd yell at someone else to get out of the space in front of me so I could run in.
I'm looking forward to the next challenge sometimes if you get to actually enjoy what's happening at the time.
He won't get sacked. That's absolutely not going to happen.
We can get him back in the team and that can help him work through some of the personal things that he's got going.
We copped a pasting towards the end of last year and we were in a really bad spot as a club.
I didn't expect anything less from him. I can't believe it took him 2 rounds to get suspended.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
This is the Inner Sanctum, thanks to Callaway Golf and the new GBB Epic Driver. The Epic is changing the game. Find out how at callawaygolf.com.au. And it's a big welcome for a first timer to the Inner Sanctum from the Blues. We welcome Sam Doherty to the program. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No worries, buddy. Thanks for coming in after a week off for the Blues. What'd you get up to?
I shot down to Sorrento with a few of the boys from the club and their partners and had a relaxing weekend and just got out of Melbourne, really. Nice and relaxing and feeling the effects of a nice and relaxing weekend.
What do you mean feeling the effects of a relaxing weekend? How do you feel the effects of doing nothing?
Well, went to a winery and really shut the engine down and had a relax and you sort of feel it for a few weeks when you're in footy.
We spoke to Nathan Jones yesterday, whenever it was, might have been Tuesday. I can't recall. We were talking about the want from the AFLPA to have two buys through the AFL season, the home and away season. Would you be up for that, or does it interrupt your flow too much?
I'd certainly be up for it. As much as it can disrupt your routine, it's really good for your mental space, and I think in today's footy, we're seeing more and more about players are coming out with mental issues and mental health issues. And I think the main thing about the bye is mainly about switching off mentally. Physically, it helps, but it's not the be all and an end all. But obviously, getting away from the club, getting away from a game day on a weekend, and the stresses that are involved in that, I think it definitely has a place in footy in the future.
Is that a concern, Sam? Because I think most people would think the bye is all about resting the body from a physical point of view. But you're not the only one that says, I just need a mental break. Does that mean that things need to be done differently so it's not so much of an issue?
I think it's a hard one because the way we play footy is such a stress on the body and the mind. These days, footy is as much mental as it is physical. And leading up to games, you've got so many meetings and so many reviews to do, and a lot of stuff that really plays on your mind. And I think that's what wears you down. And as much as physically you might be feeling, I reckon mentally you'll be telling yourself that I need a rest. And with the physical aspect of it, obviously we had sort of 10 rounds before our bye, and you do need the physical break. But I would say the mental aspect is more of the awareness that we need to take a note of.
Is that also the reality of where Carlton is as a football team, that you're almost in an education program with Brendan Bolton as he talks about his reset and sort of reprogramming, and such a young club that he's it's almost like a schoolroom at some times with what you're trying to sort of implement as a football club?
Yeah, it is. It's I would say the way that Bolts goes about it is very meticulous. He doesn't leave anything without us knowing what's going to happen on game day, which is really good, because then when you get to game day, you can play. So you sort of take the good with the bad. Is if you prepare really well on game day, you're pretty free. But if you don't prepare well and then game day, you hit game day and everything goes wrong, then that could be a really stressful environment to be in. But I'm not really sure what their answer is, whether it's two buys, whether it's, I don't know, less hours or less meetings. I'm not saying we want to do less, but it's just an issue that I think that AFL footy is going to have to approach very carefully in the next few years.
So what do you do during the week to combat the mental side of the game? Do you use a sports psych? What's your preparation involved for that? The physical side is probably the easy part, I think, now, but it seems to me with the guys that we continue to have in the studio, the mental battle for players, particularly during the week, needs to be is just as important as the physical side.
Yeah, we have a sports psych at our club, which he's full time. So a lot of players use that. My main thing is on my day off, I'd get out of there. And when I was younger, I used to go in and do extras, and I used to go in and see the physios, and you just go in and spend 3-4 hours there just for no reason whatsoever, other than you got nothing to do. So I make sure on my days off I'd stay out of the club and basically have no contact with anyone staff member-wise at the club. I still catch up with a few of the boys. I play golf mainly because it's 4 hours of walking around doing not much other than thinking about something else other than footy.
Do you study?
I study also. I do a business certificate on a Monday morning, which is that's at the club, just purely for ease of learning. But most blokes at our footy club, you're expected to get involved in some form of work, study, charity, and then think about what you're doing in your relaxation time as well.
Brendan Bolton seems to me, I've met him a couple of times, but just watching from afar and watching all his progress and the press conferences and the way he deals with you guys on the cameras, that he wants you to have a balanced life because he's come from that teaching background. He's got a bigger picture than just footy, but he also, when you're in footy mode, that it's pretty full on. Would that be a fair assessment of how he goes about things?
Yeah, definitely. Once we're at the club, we're expected to be switched on, ready to go, and learning every day and improving every day, but he's also got an eye on the future and making sure that basically anyone that comes into his footy club that will end up with something that they leave the game with regardless, whether, as I said, whether it's some work. It doesn't have to be study because not everyone studies. So some guys go and do work experience at companies in the city. Some guys work with charities. Some guys go to uni. Some guys do certificates. It's basically whatever you want to do, but it's expected you're engaged off field in some shape or form.
So let's talk about the Blues. It seems from afar the defensive side of the team's game is very, very good at the moment. You've only been probably blown out in one game against Port Adelaide. Is the next phase now the ball movement? Was that how Bolts came in? Did he teach defence first and then we'll worry about the ball movement second?
Yeah, a lot of our first year was based on learning team defence and what goes on with that. And we sort of made a shift in the off-season to a little bit more ball movement-wise, but we're still growing as a group in terms of our defence and our offence. We did learn it all last year, but then we got rid of 13 players and had to teach the new 13 what to do again. So you sort of take a two steps forward, a step back to then take more leaps forward. And we're evolving as we go slowly, and we tinker with little bits of our game offensively and defensively every week. And I think that we will see some improvement. It's just a bit of a slow burn at the moment. I know Bolts always talks about the bamboo effect, but the amount of work that we put in at the footy club in terms of our team game and our individual games, it mightn't seem like we're making too much ground, but it's at some stage I reckon we're going to shoot.
So do you feel that as a player that you are making plenty of ground, even though it says the ladder says you're 17th on the ladder? I feel like you're playing a lot better. That do the players feel that as well?
Yeah, and I think that's part of a good coach is sort of selling the message about where we're going as a footy club. And what will happen is that once the players connect to that and feel a part of it, then that's where you'll get the real genuine growth. And I think at our footy club, I can speak for myself, I can't speak for all of the boys, but I see a future at the footy club that's going to be pretty special. And we're sort of ground, we're building the foundations at the moment and working really hard to build the foundations at the club. But what we're hoping to do is get sustained success on the back of that and have a way of being at the Carlton Footy Club that when you come in, it's expected and you know what's the way that we play. We have a brand and that's the way that we go forward.
It was interesting with some of the comments Brendan Bolton made recently about not accepting honourable losses and that even though you're a young club and a developing club, and it is, as you said, it's about building the foundations, that he's not into honourable losses. What's it like as a player when you know you're in that development phase but you want to be winning as well?
No one likes losing, and I think that where that term's come from is we've been in probably four games that we've hit the front or in the last quarter or hit the front in the end of the third quarter and probably lost them off our own back. And I think the way that we've got to get as a footy club at the moment is we need to learn how to win as a group. And that's something that we probably I've been at the club for three or four years now, and we haven't won too many games. And it's for our group, it's a young group that just needs to learn how to win again. And once we get that, that's where I reckon the jump with the wins and the losses will come.
So, how do you learn to win? And I know a lot of clubs say it that are outside the eight. How is that taught?
Well, a lot of games these days in footy are decided by little moments in the last quarter. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be you win those little moments or you create the special moment of the Luke Hodge, the Smothers and the great moments that you see win games. But there's a lot in not losing it as well. So not making the mistake that leads to the goal. Or I think some of our stuff this year has been more about we've tried something and it just hasn't come off, and then they've kicked a really crucial goal. And minimising those mistakes will obviously go a long way to winning the game. And what we're doing well is we're doing well enough to get in front, and then we'll make a couple of critical errors. They'll kick two goals and it's game over for us because we haven't been able to score too quickly. So for our group, it's about working on our skill and making sure that mentally under fatigue that we don't make those mistakes late in games and don't gift teams goals. So then it comes to a game of, all right, well, someone's going to have to win the game off their boot. It's not coming off us losing it.
Yeah. So do you have to live those moments to learn, or can you train them? People talk about scenario training, and we hear all that all the time when players talk about games and tight games and things go their way or they don't. Do you have to live them to really understand them and get better, or is training sometimes enough?
I reckon you have to live them, personally. I know I've made a couple of mistakes probably 2 or 3 years ago, late in games, that cost us games. And until you do it or your group understands what happens and the missed kick that you think is not that important misses its target and it goes down and kicks a goal, until you learn that and you lose a game of footy, I don't think you fully understand the importance of your training during the week and how much you have to improve on your skill and on your game to become an elite AFL footballer and an elite AFL team. And I think that's where our group this year has learned a lot. There's probably four games that we've probably let ourselves down in that our group's using as a hunger and a drive to step up our training, to step up our skill level for the future of the club.
21 past 7 on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927. If you've just joined us, that is the voice of Sam Doherty from the Carlton Football Club. We're in the Kelowna Sanctum of the Blues.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
24 past 7 on a Thursday morning. Ken Hinckley to join us after 8 o'clock. Adam Peacock as well, and Scotty Gallen not too far away with all the latest news in the AFL. But we are in the middle of the Kellaway Inner Sanctum. Thanks to the new Epic Driver, it's changing the game. Start your own Epic experience at kellawaygolf.com.au with the Blues, Sam Doherty. And the big question today, Sam, that we've been posing is chicken or cheese twisties. Where do you sit in the scheme of things?
I'm a cheese twisty.
Oh. Hey, it's 3-2. It's 3-2. It's an emphatic victory at this stage for the cheese twisties.
And we've still got a few more people coming on the show this morning.
Well, at the moment, it's emphatic. 60%.
You've just shocked me before, apart from the cheese twisty situation. How long you've been at Carlton for? Because I remember you playing for Brisbane and then obviously coming back to Carlton. You're a Carlton supporter growing up. What's it been like? Because obviously you haven't had a lot of success at Carlton, but making the move to the club that you barracked for as a kid.
It is funny that I've only been there for 4 years. I look back at when I got there to now, and there's only about 10 to 12 players that were there when I arrived that are there now, which is strange enough as it is. So the move was hard. Not going to lie, when you come down from another state, you've moved away from you learn a bunch of new players at the footy club and a whole new staff system, and then you've got you're reconnecting with your family. Like it's not as easy as just moving back and you're back into normal life. But I'm probably the happiest I've ever been now, and I'm so glad that I did make the move down, and my footy's taken a little bit of a step up as well, which has been good.
So we've seen you mostly play across halfback over these 4 years at the Blues. When do we see you move up into the midfield? You're probably the All-Australian halfback at the moment, in my opinion. Is the next part of your game moving into the midfield?
I don't think it's moving into the midfield full-time, but I think the players that I respect a lot are the players that can play their position and then go in and have an impact in another area, whether it's forward, mid, or whatever. But I'm looking to grow that into my game, to be able to move into the midfield at crucial times of game and step up when needed. But my game is very suited to half back in terms of the way that I read the play and my skills down back. So I don't think it'll be a full-time move, but I think I've already done it bits and pieces this year, just little hits through midfield and half forward. And I think that's where most players will go now, is they'll flip and go between positions.
And I know Murph still has a few years of football remaining. What about your leadership aspirations? You seem like a natural to me, particularly out on the field, most importantly. Do you have leadership captaincy aspirations at Carlton?
Yeah, I'm in the leadership group now. I've been in there for, this is my second year, and I don't think you go into a leadership position if you don't have aspirations to do that. And obviously, at the moment, we've got Murph, and he's doing a terrific job, and I think he's grown more and more into the role, especially probably since Bolts has come on. He's really grown as a leader, as our other leadership group has. But and I think Murph's taken a really big step up in his game and in his leadership. So long term, you never know what the future will hold. I think the thing about the Blues at the moment is we've got some really good leaders there and young leaders at that can step up into those positions as well. But obviously, I wouldn't be in there if I didn't think that I wouldn't mind doing it.
I've seen a bit of you guys live this year, Sam, and I can't help but think that you and Cade Simpson are good mates, because the way you operate on the field suggests that, like, it's almost Cracker Brother stuff. Like, it's it's really tight on the field. It just looks to me like you'd be great mates off it. Is that right? And what have you made of Cade Simpson what did you think of him before you got to the Blues, and what did you make of him in the last couple of years?
I always respected him as a player. As a Blues fan, going up, I loved his game. And the thing when I came to the club is I probably respected him a hell of a lot and have throughout my whole career. And we are good mates. He's a bit older than me. He's just got a solid 10 on me. And but the thing that I've noticed with me and Simo is we both just read each other's games really well.
Yeah.
Have played a bit of footy now together, about 3 years down back. And when you play with players for long enough, you sort of learn the way they play their game and where you got to run to get the ball off them and how they defend. And I think that's probably the main thing that's happened with me and Simo is we've just learned how each other play. And he knows when I get the ball, I'm turned one way and he'll be there. And that's just what happens. And that's when we get a bit of stick about waxing with each other, because I might turn one way away from five blokes that are free and kick it to Simo. But
he's got three on him.
But he's just read the situation better and knows exactly where I'm going to go. So it's well done to him.
So you speak about the list turnover over the past couple of years. I think it's 27 in the past 2 years. Who's the most impressive youngster that Carlton have, in your opinion, at the moment?
I'd say Sam Petrescu-Seaton. I think he's going to be an absolute star of the future of Carlton. And I'm pretty wrapped to have him on a long-term deal at the footy club. And the things that he can do, there's a moment that sticks in my mind when we played against Collingwood, and he was running along the boundary line. It was soaking wet, and he skewed a kick inside to Bryce Gibbs.
Yes.
That no one should be able to hit, let alone a first year in his fifth game. And I reckon he's going to do some pretty special things over the next few years.
He's a super talent. Can you do special things this week against the Giants?
Yeah, I think we can. I don't think anyone goes into a game thinking that they're going to lose it. The Giants are a really good side, and they've got a really strong midfield and a pretty tall forward line down there that we'll have to deal with as defenders. But I think anyone's beatable in today's game, and we're talking about the mental aspect earlier, that if you're not ready to go, then anyone can beat you on their day. And we'll look forward, and we'll do a bit more opposition today and see exactly how they play, and hopefully we'll be able to knock them off on Sunday.
Have you put your hand up to play on Toby Green yet?
I'm not sure who gets a matchup, actually. I might get a bit of a run on him, but we'll just wait and see, I reckon.
So you said that you'll spend more time today on the Giants. When do you know kind of who you'll be playing on, and when do you start to really sort of lock in on strategies to beat your opponent and then be able to play your own individual game?
Probably sort of today you'll get a bit of an understanding on who you'll be playing on. It's because the team's not picked until basically this morning or yesterday, and so the people start finding out who's playing today. So then that's when you start to slowly sort of get you'll be playing on him, because who I play on might be completely different if someone else doesn't play. So once the team's picked, I think you get a bit more of an understanding, but you sort of get a very, very good understanding day before a game, which is where a lot of blokes will do a lot of vision. If you're a tall and you know exactly who you're going to play on, you can do it on Monday. But as a small, you don't get as long a lead in, because it's very dependent on who plays for them as well. And but I'm finding these days a lot of smalls really roll over, and with team defense, you don't get stuck on a small. Tall's you sort of try and stick your matchups if you can. You can sort of swap with a tall, but as a small, you just sort of they run up the field and you let them go, and they come back, and you'll be on someone different. And that's just the way that that footy's played these days.
There's not too many better structured teams in the competition, I reckon, than the way you guys are set up behind the ball, particularly. And the Giants have got their work cut out for them this Sunday at Etihad Stadium. Sam, it's been great to have you in as part of the Inner Sanctum, mate. Good luck and appreciate your time.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Sam Doherty from the Blues with us on the Callaway Inner Sanctum. Big game for them on Sunday at Etihad Stadium against the Giants. Get there, Blues fans. I put up a hell of a show. 27-8, Scotty Gullen after this with all the latest news in the AFL.